If you ask the Defense Department, its acquisition process for missile defense is a glass half full. The Government Accountability Office says that might be an overly optimistic way of looking at it. Christina Chaplin is Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Christina, thank you very much for being on the program this afternoon. You looked recently for Congress at how the Pentagon is planning and cataloging changes to the missile defense systems. Where did you start on this work, Christina? Thanks for being on the program today.
As far as missile defense in Europe, we've been looking at this policy for almost 5 years, and we've been concentrating on the management tools in place to guide the policy, as well as the acquisition risks for the policy. And in this latest round, Congress asked us to look specifically at acquisition, as well as a number of issues it asked Missile Defense Agency to report on.
This says GAO assessed the first element was the extent to which DOD's reporting addressed specific topics Congress required, and the second element, acquisition risks, if any, which could affect the planned delivery of capability for the EPAA, and you have a definition of that in this report. We have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, Christina. When you looked at acquisition risks, how did you assess those, and what did you find?
When we look at any acquisition program in general, we look out at how it's planned and managed and the knowledge in place it has to go forward. So we look at the process they have for technology development, design, things of that nature, and see what knowledge they have, or do they have too little to make decisions. Do they have the right kinds of knowledge? We look at cost, schedule, things like that. So when we looked at EPAA, what we found a little bit short was knowledge on costs, knowledge on schedule, dates were set before the full scope of work was known, and then in terms of planning, an integrated master schedule was not in place, which is very, very important for this type of complex effort. There's a lot of sensors involved, interceptors involved, networks, command and control. It all has to work together. It all has to be very well integrated. And if you don't have a plan that brings that all together in an integrated fashion, you're going to have some shortcomings.
On those three elements, Christina, I'd like to talk about the first two of them first. Knowledge on cost, knowledge on schedule, a timeline, sounds like similar problems to what your colleagues find with some of the other systems that are in the Defense Department that are on the high-risk list. And I wonder if it was within the scope of the work that you did here to examine why that knowledge on cost and schedule was lacking, or if it was just to ascertain that that was indeed one of the risks involved here.
Yes, we looked at why, and it is a little different than the other programs you might be talking about. In the case of European missile defense, the dates were set by the president. So Defense Department kind of was faced with this set of dates, and there was believed to be little flexibility on them. And what we're trying to say is, well, let's, now that we've had a few years under our belt, let's try to make these dates more knowledge-based if we can. In terms of cost, it's not a program per se, it's a policy. So a cost estimate isn't required as it is for a program like Joint Strike Fighter. That said, we still believe you need to know a estimate of cost. It's very tricky to do it in this case because the assets in place might have multiple missions, but we still believe cost estimates can be done. They may have caveats, they may be done in ranges, but they should still be done. Now, it has to be said the Department of Defense did do some cost estimating, but that was done when the program had four phases, and that cost estimate was not made public.
The integrated master schedule that you found was not in place. Is that something that you regard as integral or essential, or is that just a nice to have that would help the process execute the policy more smoothly?
We see it as essential when success hinges on integration. For European missile defense to work, integration is key. So we really believe you need a schedule in place that brings all these complex activities together. You can have schedules for individual elements, and you might even deliver them on time, but you don't know that they're working together as intended to achieve a certain level of integration unless you have a schedule that brings all this together. And then at the other end, when it comes to performance assessments, there's shortcomings in that too. They thought they could do much more robust performance assessments to look at that integration than they can do now. And it's mostly because of challenges with modeling and simulation, which is just a very inherently very challenging thing to do.
Christina Chaplin's director of acquisition and sourcing management issues at the Government Accountability Office. And as far as the reporting piece of this that you looked at, this report says DOD has more comprehensive information which it could have provided to better reflect its current efforts and activities and which would benefit the Congressional Defense Committees during their authorization and appropriation deliberations. Was it your sense that they didn't provide that information for a particular reason, or did they maybe not think it was as comprehensive as you think it is, or what seemed to be the disconnect there, Christina?
You know, when the Defense Department's required to report to Congress, it's always debatable what should be in there and what should not be in there, but the Congress laid out certain areas they did want addressed, and we found that while those areas were addressed by the Defense Department, there wasn't the level of information that could be useful from an oversight point of view. For example, it was described what kinds of assets are going to be in place, what kinds of capabilities are going to be in place, but what wasn't described in great detail were the potential limitations that might be there. There weren't details on regional combatant commands and their needs that would have been helpful. There could have been more detail on how assets are being allocated. There could have been more detail on command and control procedures and what's in place and what's not in place. So it's all those things that kind of knit together the system and make it work that we didn't see as much detail as could have been there. And this detail could have been provided.
Yeah, this report also says DOD has made a little bit of progress in establishing some of the acquisition management practices for EPAA. But you've got three challenges that you see here. Could you tell me about each of those?
Yes, yeah, so again, the challenges go to the things I'm talking about. One is having an integrated master schedule and good visibility on costs. Another is the acquisition risks just for the key systems in place. Some of them have overlap between technology development and design and putting the system in place, kind of overlapping with the testing and production activities. And then there's testing shortfalls and performance assessment shortfalls, which I mentioned earlier. It's all these kind of things together that we just think needs to work a little better for this particular policy.
Now, you've been issuing reports on EPAA since 2010. Each year you've got one. This report says you have no new recommendations. Do you get a sense that they are paying attention to and making progress on the recommendations that you've made previously, Christina, or is this something that they seem to just kind of be moving forward with without regard to that?
I'd say there's two prongs to this. They have addressed some of our recommendations. For example, they've defined stakeholder roles a lot more clearly, and they've continued to develop the good plans and tools that they do have in place. There are, at the same time, some issues where we may just be at agree to disagree point of view. In the Department of Defense's view, this is a policy. It's flexible. You can't really tie to this policy the same kinds of things you tie to an acquisition program. In our view, it's a policy that involves a very complex set of acquisitions, and its success depends on being able to bring these complex activities together. So you need tools in place to make that happen. So there are a couple things that I think will always be a little bit of a disagreement with them.
Christina, great insight on this work, and thank you for coming on and talk about it with me today. I appreciate your time very much.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Christina Chaplin's Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office. You can read that report along with her colleague from the Government Accountability Office, John Pendleton, linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. My conversation with Christina will be up there, too.